Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. We are excited to be with you again today to have a conversation about stories that matter. There is so much going on in the news, and we thought it was time for Weekly Wrap. That's the one day out of the week when our listeners, you, determine and drive the conversation. We kind of call it our kitchen table. That's that time of the week where we ask you to pull up a chair and talk to us about what you've been talking about with your family, with your friends, with your children when you're doing carpool, drop off, and pick up. Now, when you have dinner with your family, I'm sure you don't sit down and you don't have a script ready. You don't have a list of topics. Whatever comes out just comes out. You talk about everything. That's how we see the Weekly Wrap. It's our kitchen table talk. Pull up a chair and tell us what you've been talking about. Now, I want to start off the show today by giving a correction. I want to note that this is a first for Today with Dr. K to go back and give a correction. But yesterday, our guests incorrectly attributed the lockbox initiative in its current form to Governor Hogan. And the constitutional amendment was actually proposed by Baltimore lawmakers Delegate Maggie McIntosh and Senator Joan Carter Conway. We were able to track down and get this information. We actually heard from a few people involved. We want to give credit where credit is due. Now, this lockbox initiative requires the casino money to go towards spending above and beyond the state's K-12 educational funding formula. This is important. We want you to remember this on November 6th when you go into the polls. We've got to make sure that the lockbox initiative happens. That casino money, and it's millions of dollars, people, should be going to help our children. I mean, think about this. Just last month alone, in September, the six state casinos took in $143.8 million. Do you know how many schools can get repaired with that? Do you know how many ACs we can get up and running? Do you know how many heating systems we can get? Do you know how many in-school libraries we can have rolling? Do you know that we could potentially hire more guidance counselors for our students? We found out yesterday in talking to teacher Jesse Schneiderman, who laid out this huge graph for us about the almost $7 million that Baltimore City spends on Baltimore City School Police. We only have 80 guidance counselors for 80,000 students. I'm telling you, folks, when you start talking about not wanting our children to succeed, well, how about not having things in place to help them along the way? We need that money. I want to make a note, too, because this is a similar initiative that was also proposed by Baltimore Delegate Mary Washington. She had the same kind of idea that accomplished the same goal, but without a constitutional amendment. Her bill would only require a simple majority of the General Assembly and could take effect without having to wait for approval in the election that's coming up. So that didn't work. We need November 6th to happen. Election day is coming. Are you registered? Are you ready? Now, we here at the show, we know it's hard to vote. You got to take the day off, or you got to leave late, or you got to leave early. I mean, you got to make all kind of plans. You got to stand in line, and you have to make some hard decisions. How many of you have done what I've done? Well, you take a look at the ballot, and I'm going to be very transparent here, so don't laugh at me. But you take a look at the ballot, and over half the names you don't recognize. And so there are times, and this is horrible, I know, but there are times I go through the names and I try to make some predictions. I'm like, you know what? Leroy sounds like a brother. He may have my interest at heart. All right, I'm gonna look at my sister here, Sharika. I'm gonna go with her. Yes, I've done that in the past. And then I got wiser. I grew up and I said, you know, I want to know every name that's on the ballot. Dog catcher up the governor. Like, we have to be responsible for the decisions that we make. So we know it's hard. We know that you have people telling you your vote doesn't count, but we want to remind you it does. In fact, we want to play a message today from Kenan Thompson. He's the SNL, Saturday Night Live mainstay, the black guy who recently won an Emmy after at least 20 years of being on the air. His message to America was released on Sunday on YouTube in conjunction with the Voter Participation Center. Let's take a listen to it.
It's hard to get through school. You got homework, tests, friend drama. But you figured it out. Sometimes it's hard to find a job and make money. But you figured it out. Sometimes it can be hard to vote. Your polling place might be far away, might be odd hours or long lines. You gotta bring ID, the right ID.
Seriously.
But guess what you gotta do? Figure it out. Figure it out. Figure it out.
But you figured it out. I don't know.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Figure it out, and you have to vote. Don't come call on the show on November 7th complaining about the folks who got elected and you didn't get out and you didn't make your voice heard. You got to do it. Now, I want to further emphasize the importance of your vote, because this is what I've been talking to my children about. I went back and I took a listen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech from 1957. People don't really talk about this speech very much. This is not the I Have a Dream speech. He did it at the March on Washington. But here in 1957, when he was up and coming, he wasn't that well known, but he addressed a crowd of 25,000 civil rights activists. And they had gathered at the memorial for the prayer pilgrimage for freedom. Dr. King outlined a strategy for justice. He talked about giving us the ballot here, which is why it is so important. It became an essential goal for African Americans who battled against Jim Crow segregation. It also galvanized the movements that it took inspiration from the civil rights campaigners of the 1960s and went on to demand representation for Latinos, for Native Americans, for young people, for women, for the LGBTQIA community, for immigrants, for people of varying faith traditions, and people with disabilities. Give us the ballot. I want to play a short clip from that just as a further reminder of why we must vote.
Give us the ballot. And we will fill our legislative halls with men of goodwill and send to the sacred halls of Congress men who will not sign a Southern manifesto because of their devotion to the manifesto of justice. Give us the ballot, and we will place judges on the benches of the South who will do justly and love mercy. And we will place at the head of the Southern states governors who have felt not only the tang of the human, but the glow of the divine. Give us the ballot, and we will quietly and nonviolently, without rancor or bitterness, implement the Supreme Court's decision of May 17, 1950.
Give us the ballot. Folks, when we talk about how our ancestors and our elders and those who came before us and died, fighting for the right to get into those polls, I think about this cartoon that came out that talked about the Civil War. And there was a black man who was missing his leg. He was standing on crutches, putting his ballot into the box. Give us the ballot. Your vote matters. It matters. It matters. And I'm going to keep saying it until November 6th. We need to hear from you. We need to hear your vote. So, yeah, you got to do that one. You got to vote. The kitchen table is now open. What have you been talking about with your family? I just want to throw out some potential topics. Callers, get ready, 410-319-8888. The room is now open for you to give me your topics. Here are a couple of ones I just want to throw out that Justina, my award-winning producer, and Deja, my wonderful intern, these are some things that we found. Baltimore City, just a couple of issues here. So our interim police chief, Gary Tuggle, has withdrawn his name for consideration for being the chief of police. Folks, nobody wants this job. I think it's very interesting because Tuggle is the third person this year to hold that top post. And the department has had 10 commissioners since 1989. So when they put a new person in, that'll be four people who've served. Let's just recap very quickly. Police Commissioner Kevin Davis was fired in January. His replacement, agency veteran Daryl D'Souza, lasted just a few months before that whole kind of federal tax charges, all that evasion. He resigned in May. Tuggle, a former DEA special agent in charge who D'Souza recruited to be one of his deputies, he ascended to the interim spot. Well, they took applications. They were due August 17th. to City Solicitor Andre Davis. They've received about 50 applications. They have three law enforcement agencies. They're going to make a decision in the next couple of weeks. I didn't put my application in. Maybe I should have. We can talk about that. We can also talk about the fact that a man recently got shot at a light. A 73-year-old man was shot in his own car because he looked at someone the wrong way. Like, what is happening in this city where we're now up to? It's the second week of October. We've already had 12 homicides, 43 homicides in the past 30 days, 243 total homicides for this year. This is shaping up to be the bloodiest season we've had since 2015. We can talk about that. I also want to throw on the table, folks, what's up with the squeegee boys? Okay, so have you ever been riding in your car down by the Lewis Museum and the squeegee boys come up? Now, I try to help out. I mean, if I got a dollar or two, I try to help out. Well, supposedly and allegedly, squeegee boys ain't taking no for an answer anymore. They're busting out windows. They're reaching in and stealing stuff off the passenger side. We got to talk about the squeegee boys. I'm all in for young entrepreneurs. I am. I ain't in for nobody breaking my car windows because I don't have any money. We can talk about that. Trump just said we need to bring back stop and frisk. The KKK is back recruiting in Maryland, dropping off flyers. A white mother went to Patient First in Waldorf with her daughter, her black daughter, her adopted daughter, and Patient First wouldn't treat her. We can talk about that. And then we can talk about kind of an important issue that I'm thinking about right now. They did a new study, and I want every woman listening and anyone who gender identifies as a woman to listen up. The study has shown that everyday discrimination, when you get overlooked, when you get silenced, when you get harassed, when you get ignored, everyday discrimination against women actually raises our blood pressure and leads to diabetes and high blood pressure. So, yes, the men are killing us. We can talk about that as well. 410-319-8888 is the kitchen table. It's our weekly wrap. What have you been talking about? Come on and join the conversation. We have Charles on the phone from Baltimore. Charles, how are you?
Yes. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining the kitchen table.
All right. Well, I definitely got to deal with the miseducation that we keep getting on Black Talk Radio.
Okay.
You know, they keep trying to spin things. And they spin it, in the wrong way.
Okay.
Now, first of all, we have sold out to an empty vote. Like I said before, this is our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been our country. We have not come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So by this being our country, then that means that we have ownership. So that means that we should have a bigger say.
Mm-hmm.
And not just a vote. You know, if somebody came and captured you, would you join their system and start voting in their system and believe that that is something that's going to help you?
Oh, wait, no, now let me ask you a question. You said if someone came and captured me, kidnapped me from my home, mm-hmm. right? Bought right. me over into a new land.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in that new land. I had children in that new land. I helped to build that new land. My work has become the foundation of the economy of that new land. Then, yes, I would be demanding a vote because I've helped to build this new land where I'm no longer connected to my old land because my generations have been so long in this country, they don't have a direct connection to the old land. So, yes, in that instance, I would be demanding for the children of my children of my children, demanding their right to vote. So, yes.
That's only after you've drunk the Kool-Aid,
okay.
after they gave you the miseducation,
mm-hmm.
after you've had the indoctrination, and now you are turning your back on your actual homeland. And
yeah, but now, wait a minute. Now, Charles, you and I have had this conversation before, so I'm so glad you called. You're always welcome here. I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I came here. I think I'm a fifth generation removed from American enslavement. I can't actually trace when my people got here, right? But I know we've been here for a very long time. If today I wanted to kind of turn my face back towards our native land, where should I go? Just walk into Kenya and demand the vote? Walk into Ghana? I'm like, where do I go?
No. See, you're completely going off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I'm saying is I come in your house
mm-hmm.
and move into your house.
Right.
Okay, you have rules in your house.
Right.
So I'm going to take over your house.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to start instituting the rules in your house. And now I'm going to allow you to vote in my rules,
mm-hmm.
in your own house.
Okay.
So you're happy to vote on my rules in your house when your vote really doesn't count.
Mm.
But it's your house, but now
right.
I'm calling it my house, and now I'm allowing you to participate. Now, that's called brainwashing,
mm-hmm.
and that's what the Emmy is.
Right.
The Emmy is a fake reward to get you to go out there and hustle up more money
mm-hmm.
for the ones that are putting you up to this. See, this is about money. It's not about Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
See, you keep saying that you accept your oppressors when you vote. You
right.
keep saying your leadership is co-opted when you vote. I mean, I didn't ever say anything, but Martin Luther King was definitely co-opted. He was being used by the president
mm-hmm.
and by the government to put us in different positions. And the fact that he saw what they were doing and he moved to counteract that, that's why they killed him, because
okay.
he became as smart as I'm becoming now,
okay.
knowing that this is our land and we are prisoners
okay.
in our own skin.
Now, let me ask you this, because
home.
You're saying Dr.
Yes,
King was co-opted, and I think we can discuss that. I think there were some aspects that I was questioning about Dr. King's choices. But do you believe that Malcolm X was co-opted? Because he gave a speech called The Ballot or the Bullet.
So he's
co-opted too?
When you're invited to the White House
mm-hmm.
and you're having these private meetings with the president, you have the president's personal number and you can call them directly
mm-hmm.
and they can call you directly. When you have that type of interaction, then there is something more going on. Just like when you become Boule or when you become part of these fraternities, you got secret codes and organizations. You got secret things that you agree to, which are nefarious to ordinary people. But you agree to this because you're in that organization. Just like the Bloods and the Crips, they agreed to sell the drugs.
Well, okay, now, I can't speak about that, but I am in a sorority. I'm a Delta, so there are some things that are secret. Definitely ours is not selling drugs, but I get what you're saying. I do have another question for you, Charles, before I go on. Clarence and James, I'm coming to you. Because you have talked to me about this before, this is our land. You're saying we were here first and completely erased, and of course, the Native populations. Can you tell me where you're getting your research from? Just so, because if people want to read that, because I would recommend, Charles. I would recommend if people want to study about how black folks who were originally from the continent were bought here during the time of American enslavement, I would recommend Lerone Bennett Jr.'s book, Before the Mayflower.
I would recommend
John Hope Franklin's book, From Slavery to Freedom. And I would also recommend Ira Berlin's book, Slaves Without Masters or Many Thousands Gone, that talk about this triangle trade system that bought African people here before the Mayflower and afterwards. What book are you recommending where we can find out that this land always belonged to us?
Sometimes people write what's acceptable, not what's
okay.
true.
All right,
we're
Charles, thank
black.
You so much.
We're
I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Charles. Folks, I love the conversation. If you have books that can support what Charles is talking about, call and tell me, because I'm a historian. I look at American enslavement. It is the area that I drill down deep in, and I have not found anything that says that we were here first. This is not our original land. Every piece of research shows that our original land is over in the motherland, in Africa. And we've been here, yes, for hundreds of years since then, but you've got to tell me, what book are you reading that completely erases Native Americans? Because I can't do that, particularly one day after celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. I am not going to say that this land didn't originally belong to them, and I think we all know that it did. We have Clarence on the phone from Northwest Baltimore. Clarence, welcome to the table.
Hey, thanks, Dr. K. I just want to, this is not why I called, but listening to the conversation that you two guys just had, okay.
You know, two folks, don't gender me, you two folks.
No,
right.
There's no book out there that could give me an adequate account of history, because none of what you guys are talking about would include, you're either talking about post-diluvial history or pre-diluvial, what they call antediluvial history. So unless you're willing to take into account the mythology of a sunken continent, then it's all bogus to me, okay?
So none of the history matters to you?
Right, because, you know,
okay.
even Manly P. Hall mm-hmm. gives accounts of, for instance, which may sound real crazy, but he mentions this, and he probably got it from Sir Francis Bacon. I think that's
right.
where you got it. the American Indians and the Africans were constantly at war with each other.
Now, okay?
But you will never hear that from any black person. So when I hear people talk about, oh, the Moors were here and this person were here, the Indians were here, no, because you're discounting it. We're a species with amnesia, as Graham Hancock would put it. Unless you're willing to take into account, then, you know, I don't pay any attention.
So you don't look at any of the history? Come on now, Clarence. Because Clarence, I would dispute that because you just ran down history for us. Like, you just did that, which I really respect. So you may discount the history, but you know it because you just laid it down. You gave your sources and everything. Like, that's impressive.
Before the dialogue, when we come into with Moses, the 4,000-year history, then fine. If you want to count the Great Flood, Noah's Ark, and all of that, that's after the fact. That's one history. But that history that was before then, you know, I can't go along with it. I can't get in there because there's so much material, tangible evidence that suggests something else. But Dr. K,
now, what did you call for, Clarence?
Dr. K, you said don't complaining about not voting.
Yes.
Well, I'll keep whether or not I'm going to vote to myself on this occasion. But I would ask you, do you go out and do you buy a house that's not up to your standards?
No, I do not. I do not. But let me say this. I have to answer that. When I go out, I would not buy a house that's up to my standards. That's correct. But I would get an apartment at least so my sons will have a place to live and my husband will have a place. We won't just be in the street because I can't find a house I like. Like, we will rent something.
Yes, Dr. K, but what I'm saying is the Democratic Party and the American political party is not giving me a product that I would purchase. I may or may not participate, but right now they're not giving me a product that I would purchase, that I would go in the store and spend any money for. Okay.
Okay, let me ask you this, Clarence. I know we're going to break. Now, you wouldn't vote because, I mean, I'm saying there's no candidate you like, but how about going to vote on the initiative? The lockbox initiative is on the table. So say, I won't vote for any people, but I'm at least going to vote to get that money for the schools. How about that?
Yeah, I will vote on that, but
okay,
I think
there's
a bit of subterfuge there, Dr. K, because I think that where all of the money is actually going, and this is coming on 10 years, because it was mentioned during the housing bubble,
right.
Okay? But they moved away from it. You didn't hear it anymore. The pension funds are insolvable, but they're not solvent. That's where all the money is.
And we're going to start drilling down deeper. I got to stop you there, Clarence. Thank you so much. Now, I'm just going to ask James, Ernest, Gene, and Jack, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. And I want, where my sister's at, y'all? Give me a call. It's the kitchen table, 410-319-8888. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, this is my favorite topic of the week. We only do it once a week. We call it the weekly wrap, and we just turn the show over to our listeners, of course, facilitated by me, where you can talk about whatever you've been talking about around the kitchen table. We have to remind folks, and every time we've done this, we've never had a problem. But I gotta say, let's also remember we have a lot of moms and dads and grandparents and, you know, folks who are guardians who are taking children home now. It's child care pickup time, and we have a lot of young listeners. So do think about when you're calling to fuss and complain about something or share. Remember our young listeners. The babies are listening and they're learning. I also want to put out a special invitation asking any young person who's listening. Get your parents' approval. Get their cell phone or your own and give me a call. 410-319-8888. I want to hear what the babies are talking about as well. And this is no offense, but anybody in kindergarten through 12th grade, I see you still as my babies. Maybe I said mother and me. Give us a call, 410-319-8888. All right, we have James has been holding from West Baltimore. James, how are you?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. K, I think you're missing too much time out of work, and I don't like it. You need a few, look, you just can't not show up on the radio and leave us like that. I mean, that's not good.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that.
I'm sure, Dr. K, you need to figure out your schedule. You got to be there. How do you think you ended up being the number one?
You're right.
You got to show up. I don't know what's... When I turn the radio on at 3 and I hear other people, I get frustrated.
Well, I'm back. I'm back. I have no travel schedule. I'm back. Thank you. That's so sweet of you.
You have to be consistent now, Dr. K. The people banking on you.
I agree. I agree.
We turn 3 o'clock, we expecting to hear you now. Well, look, let's talk about the crime.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't have an answer because nobody knows when somebody's going to commit a murder.
Right.
I think what the white people are starting to understand is that they're going to have to invest into the black community, meaning that they're going to have to give the people somewhere else to go. Because if there's nothing downtown, they're going to have to come uptown.
Right.
And what's happening now, you got a lot of these people, they coming over to the other side because there's nothing over here left for them.
Right.
So they're going to have to invest into the lower part of the community, the people that... They got to give them some. They don't have nowhere to go, Dr. Kelly.
Right.
Okay? No club, nothing where they can have a good time, enjoy themselves, you know? So they're going to have to dump some resources down here to make it better for the people.
I agree, to give people a place to go. Let me ask you this, James, and I'm glad you called. What do you think about what's been happening with the Squeegee Boys? Because there's been these reports that saying the Squeegee Boys, now when you tell them no, this is, of course, this is alleged, but they're breaking folks' windows and snatching things out of people's cars. They have the windows let down. Like, do we need to find something else for these young entrepreneurial brothers to do?
Let me tell you this. They tried to wash my windows in the rain.
I'm sorry,
okay,
I laughed.
Now listen.
I shouldn't have laughed.
Now listen to me, Dr. K. We had the dirt bikes. Remember the dirt bikes?
I remember the dirt bikes.
They said the dirt bikes, we don't want nothing to do with the dirt bikes. They got the dirt bikes out the way. Now the Squeegee Boys come along.
Right.
Now, with the Squeegee Boys, I think it's a bad hustle. I think they should have, if you would have invested into the dirt bike guys and gave them a track or something to ride,
yeah,
there wouldn't have never been no Squeegee Boys.
That's true.
Everybody would have been at the track.
You got to give them, it's the same thing you said, you got to give them something to do and somewhere to go.
You got to give them something to do.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loved the dirt bike. I mean, it was a nuisance, but you should have created a dirt bike somewhere for them.
I used to love to watch them. I mean, if nothing else, it was very entertaining.
It was entertaining. Yeah. And they could have made money out of it.
Right.
So this is what you left with the Squeegee Boys now.
You
didn't want the dirt bike boys, so now you got to deal with the Squeegee Boys.
And we got to figure out what we're going to do with them. Thank you so much, James.
Got to figure out, huh?
Yeah, we have Ernest on the phone from West Baltimore. Ernest, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. Long time no talk to you.
Yes, thank you for calling back and joining us.
Hey, I just tuned in when you were talking about scholarship that suggests or which scholarship suggests that maybe black folk were here.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm not going to go into any scholarship that suggests black folk were here before Native Americans.
Right.
But there is scholarship that I'm aware of that suggests black folk traded with Native Americans.
Yes, absolutely.
And some came and settled here and they intermarried and intermingled long before Columbus.
Yeah.
I am aware, and I'm sure you are aware.
Yeah,
of
and it's the book I mentioned earlier. It's by Lerone Bennett Jr., Before the Mayflower, is the one that talks about all the trade that took place prior to the Mayflower. The original folks to come over here and trade weren't the folks on the Mayflower. It was us coming back and forth from the continent. Yes.
That's right. And I think Ivan Van Sertima has a book, They Came Before Columbus, which is very similar.
Yes.
So, but another reason why I call, I'm an unregistered Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a Democrat for a long time. But let me tell you why I participate in the process.
Okay.
When I was about 20 years old, when I was leaving out of the house to go to school at Morgan, me and my younger brother, he was also attending Morgan at the time. And it was the last day to register to vote. And my dad pulled us up and said, are you guys going to register? And this is just when I was coming into my consciousness, right?
Wow.
And I blame my parents for it. Because I was born in the late 60s, and I watched them walk around in dashikis and bones
afros.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Absolutely. So I was just beginning to come to my consciousness, like we often do in college.
It takes some time to get there.
And I said, I'm not participating in that white racism. Blah, blah, blah. And my dad very calmly said, cool, I get it. Don't come home from school.
Ooh.
And he meant it, and I could tell he meant it. I registered that day, and I participated in every election, local, state, and federal sense.
Because it matters.
Having said that, that doesn't mean I buy into the system.
Right.
In this regard, I think it was Du Bois that said, and I'm paraphrasing, Democrat and Republican Party are two wings on the same wicked bird.
Yes, he did.
Right? And I understand and I argue with folks or debate about what we must do now. How about this? When is it going to be appropriate for us to start our own political party? And
yes.
I know that sounds crazy.
Right. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm with you.
We've been talking about this for 30
years. I mean, you know what? Let me say this, Ernest, because I really thought we had a chance. If you remember, and I, based upon how you just, you know, kind of put your age out there, remember right after Jesse Jackson did that speech, I actually believe that if Jesse Jackson had pushed at that moment, for a third party for black folks, I believe a lot of people would have left the Democratic Party and would have followed Jesse Jackson into creating something. Like, I believe that was a missed moment.
Right.
We could have done something that was viable in our community.
1988.
Yeah.
I think it was 88.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. And it would have galvanized
I think
not
so.
Just the black nationalists and pan-Africanists, but also the black boule.
Yeah.
Of the black middle class.
And you wouldn't take our vote for granted because you don't know where we would end up. We would vote the best interests of our people and not just the interests of the party.
Or the interests of us individually.
Yes.
Let me just say this last little bit.
Okay.
We don't even have to start our own political party.
Mm.
Look at the 8-year run the Tea Party had.
Yes. Oh, my word.
Did they last? No. However,
yeah.
They did change the political landscape.
Yeah. And they've made their voices known.
Of the Republican Party.
Yes.
Right? And now look where we are.
Oh, man.
With what happened last week.
Yeah.
You can credit some of that to the Tea Party.
I think so, too. I think this whole kind of belligerent.
Dr. Kent.
Oh, thank you so much. I really agree with that. Folks, think about that. Think about what is happening. When you say you don't vote, I just want to remind you that all politics are local. It's not just people you're voting for. It's initiatives. It's money for the libraries, money for, you know, setting up garden spaces. It's money for the lockbox initiative. It matters, folks. We have, let's see here, who's next here? We have Gene from Pikesville. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, Dr. Kate. Let's get this where the people came from thing straight first.
Okay.
Okay, so the Indian Native Americans migrated from Asia over the Bering Strait.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's way back in our history when it was frozen over and they can walk right across.
And then they said that they migrated down to where the Mayas and the Incas.
Where it was warmer.
Pretty much where. But they don't talk about where they came from in South America. Have you ever broken a cookie in half?
Yes.
Okay, so, and it looks like Africa and South America, doesn't it? It looks like Africa and South America.
It's all connected, right?
We're broken right in half, right? Okay, so I'm going to let people just, you know, marinate and
stew on that for a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, think about that for a while. Okay, so this is the reason I called. Did you receive the two songs that I sent you by Ella Fitzgerald?
Yes, I did, which I appreciate.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that I have your right email
address.
Yes,
you do.
Now, I'm going to send you an interview by Malcolm X to support Charles's other theory, and that is Malcolm used the analogy about, because Charles used it about us being a family,
right,
so forth and so on. Malcolm X said that we are in the white man's house, and we should leave the white man's house.
Right.
Right? And he said it's time to leave the white man's house. And basically start your own thing. I'm going to send this interview. I'm
send it to
this
me. I appreciate it. And we'll play clips of it on the air. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay.
As long as you do acknowledge that I sent it to you.
Let me make a note. Sent from Gene.
Sometimes you will play some of these things over the air.
I will. I will. We do. It's hard playing music sometimes because we Facebook live stream the show, and Facebook cuts in if you use too much music from an artist without their permission. But clips we can always play. Thank you so much, Gene. We have Fred on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Fred, how are you?
Dr. K, make my day.
How you doing?
The Democratic Republican Party was founded in 1792. That was the first political party in the United States. That's what it was called.
Yes, it was.
Founded by Jefferson and some of his buddies. But, you know, I hear people saying start a third party. Dr. K, we need to get away from this. We need to talk some of our black community into turning Republican.
Mm. Turning back Republican, right? Because for a long time, black folks did vote with the Republican Party.
Yeah, I know they got misled some kind of way. I don't know how. I don't know how anybody could either want to have the word Democrat attached to their name.
Right.
For all the rotten things the Democratic Party did to the black community.
Yes.
And still doing. Look around.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump said he's going to send the troops up to Chicago.
Yep, for stop and frisk. He said, put that back, implement it.
But think about this. Obama was the president for 8 years. Over 5,000 people was killed in Chicago while he was president. He never mentioned it.
Nope. He mentioned that. I think only one time he mentioned it. Like, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon. Like I, but that was not part of his agenda.
He wasn't talking about Chicago.
He wasn't.
He was talking about Florida.
Yep. And there was a lot of pressure from him to say something.
But for 8 years,
yeah,
he never mentioned Chicago until they got time to build a library.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just over and over and over again, the Democratic Party has continuously used us like a tool. Look at the election here in Baltimore. Was you here in Baltimore, was it April 26th or June 26th, 2016, you know, when they say the Russians didn't favor the election?
Yes, I was here.
What do you think happened with the primary election between Sheila Dixon and Kathy? What do you think happened?
Yeah, people have been talking to that. People have called about that. Hey, Doc, you need to drill down deep into that, Dr. K.
You know, black people talking about what the Russians did. You know what? The Russians control some of the machines in Maryland.
Yes,
you know that?
Yes, I heard that. That's what people tell me. You need to take a look at what is happening here.
I wonder what happened here.
Yeah. I mean, because we look at the popular vote, we look at, I mean, people were convinced of who was going to win here.
You can't, Dr. K, I'm just going to run everybody real quick. Population of Baltimore City, 600,000. 9 charismatic districts. Each district represents 45,000 people. 14 charismatic districts. Each district represents about 45,000 people. 9 districts voted for Sheila Dixon.
Yes.
And she lost.
Yes, she did. All I'm saying is that we have seen it, and this is why we take a look at who's down at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now.
Well, no, 1600 got to do with that. 1600 got to do with that. We got a guy
we're seeing a pattern
right
here.
Baltimore every day was in Annapolis for 30 years talking about, they told him he was too black to be down there. Who do you think told him that? Democrats. Not Republicans. Democrats.
That's what we're talking about. Thank you so much, Fred, for calling. Folks, we are just happy to have you. Stephanie, how are you? New caller from East Baltimore. Stephanie, welcome to the family and welcome to the kitchen table.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd just like to say that so far, I like what I'm hearing. I really like your show so far.
Thank you.
It's important that we sit down and really talk about what's really going on in our communities. I myself have been here in Baltimore for several years myself. I wasn't born in Baltimore. However, I've been here for a long time to the point where I also own a house now in Baltimore, and my child was born in Baltimore, and now she's going to school in Baltimore.
Nice.
And in my opinion, I believe that a lot of us need to start sticking together, and when you start investing in these schools, a lot of these black people, they get a little bit of money, they get, you know, a little air in their head, and they start believing that they no longer have to invest to where they came from.
Right.
So they leave the city, and they go to the better schools, and they invest in the better schools and buy houses in other counties and forget where they came from. And it's not good for those who are still in the city, still fighting, you know, pretty much all the other racism off and trying to keep the Caucasian people from taking the city from us. Because what you're trying to do, they put a casino in here already. I believe they have, like, some type of NASCAR arena happening. And they're starting to turn it into New York City. They're trying to make it commercial. And there's a lot of people here. Baltimore has very good heart. And there's a lot of very good things happening out of Baltimore, especially when it comes to the community itself.
Right.
The community helps each other. The children have a lot of good programs.
Right.
They have the programs with the basketball schools. And the parks and recreation centers, a lot of people haven't even been investing or even looking into that. They have a lot of good programs in the parks and recreation
that
centers
are free.
That are actually free. Exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a lot of people that are not looking at the things that are actually here in the community already that they should be doing. They're focusing on the negative things that they put on the news. They're focused on all of these negative things they put about the schools. But the schools have improved a lot. And there's a lot of schools out here that need actually people to start enrolling their children in the schools. They go by all of these rumors that they put on the news. Oh, this kid brought in a gun. This kid got pregnant. This and that, that and this, but we need to stop and look past of what they're trying to mask us with, because they're white girls getting pregnant in schools all the time.
Same thing is happening across the board,
and half the little killers out here that go into the schools to shoot them up, they're all Caucasian, too.
Well, now, more than half. This is what we call the white domestic male terrorists. Stephanie, well, first of all, let me just say I'm glad you decided to settle in Baltimore and buy a house here, sending your children to school here, because that is actually one of the ways that we win. We make the decision to invest in our community.
Exactly. And when you don't like anything, and when you don't like something, you say something about it.
Yeah, you get ready to help change it.
And tell them they need to be around here and watching and doing their job. You dang all right. Because why? Because my taxes that I pay in this house, they pay their salary.
Yes, it does.
So you want to work for me. You work for me, and you're going to do it right.
I like that. Thank you so much, Stephanie. We have Thomas on the phone. Thomas is on 95 North driving into Harford County. How are you, Thomas?
Hey, Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well. Real Thomas, by the way.
That's the real Thomas. Yeah, I got two quick points real
quick.
Sir. First of all, Interim Commissioner Tuggle was withdrawing his name.
Yes.
He had no other choice to resign his name because he wasn't going to never get the job.
I didn't think so.
Okay, because number one, when you were out a while back, T.J. Smith sit in for you.
I was away on vacation.
And I proposed a question to him that basically he lied to me about.
Mm.
I asked him a question. I'll repeat the question. Is Commissioner Tuggle commissioned by the Maryland Police Training Commission?
Mm.
He is not commissioned by them, which is why he didn't get that job.
Wow.
Okay?
I'm glad you called and cleared that up. Thank
you.
Now,
question. Question two. You talk about, we were talking about, you know, the kids, the squeegee boys.
Yeah,
okay?
I was asking about the squeegee boys.
Listen, a lot of people ask the squeegee boys to clean their windows, but when they go to get whatever change, that's them, these people try to run and laugh at them, don't give them what's due to them.
There you go.
Some of them do react to it.
See, that's but that adds a different spin on it. You know that, right, Thomas? When you start talking about doing the work and people don't want to pay you, then you can understand why people get upset.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Now, what's his name? Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh.
Brett Kavanaugh.
I suspect that before it's all over, said and done with, he's probably going to be impeached and taken off of that Supreme Court.
I hope so.
Because let me tell you something. But those 53% white women who voted for Donald Trump, if they are for this man, he'll probably stay there. But if they hate him as much as they claim that they don't like what's going on now, then I think you can see a groundswell of women going to D.C. to protest this man being on the Supreme Court.
I just want to make a tweak. With women continuing to go. Let's say continuing to go, because women have been going on a regular basis since this whole thing started. They were out there protesting yesterday.
They were out there protesting yesterday. But what they need to do, they need to go out there in numbers like they did when Trump first got elected.
The day after he was inaugurated.
It was over 500,000 women came to D.C. that
day. Oh, yeah. I was there. I went to it.
Okay.
5 million people protesting around the world. Yes, I was there.
Protesting around the world.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing you need with this. But I'm going to tell you something about this Kavanaugh situation. He thinks he's out of the woods yet. But he does not have immunity from prosecution in Montgomery County.
And that's what I'm happy about. It could still go down. Yep.
Even though he is a Supreme Court justice, they can still indict him and charge him, and then he'll have to come off the court.
And that's what we want. Thank you so much, Thomas. We have Judy on the line from West Baltimore. Judy, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. You know what I don't like? I don't like the Bible.
Okay.
I never liked the Bible. I think it's the worst book that was ever put in a black person's hands.
The Bible.
Because if you go to a museum, can somebody show me a book that came from Africa that was in a bag that a black person made and bought with them?
Mm-hmm. And so
there aren't any.
Okay.
I had never taken my daughter and set her in a church and wanted her to believe in a book that was only written in a white man's language that says if he owns you, he can beat you. It's the worst thing we ever did.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Have a good day, Judy. Really appreciate Judy calling us. I do want to make a note, though, just a tweak to what Judy said, when she said it was written in the white man's language. I have questions about that, you know, having taken some courses in sociolinguistics. I have some questions about the white man's language, because originally when you start thinking about the Bible being written in Hebrew, talking about the original languages it was written in. That's what we want to delve into. She calls it the white man's language. I just have some questions about that. We can talk about that. Maybe you might be a scholar of theology. Call, chime in, and help us out with it. We have Leo on the phone. Leo from Bolton Hill. How are you, sir?
Dr. K.Y.'s Whitehead, how are you?
Fine. They got your whole name, Leo Wesley Burroughs Jr.
Well, listen, welcome home.
Thank you so much,
welcome
sir.
Welcome home. Your substitute host made the comment that he loves the mayor so much he would not entertain criticism of the mayor.
Oh,
and
okay.
Although I know him, I love him, but I will criticize the mayor when I so choose to criticize yeah. any public servant.
Now, I want to say just for the record, you know that's not my stance, right?
I know that.
No, I believe that when you get elected, we as the people who elect you should be able to critique you or support you. You're working for us.
I
complain about my boss all the time.
I'm talking about Anthony McCarthy, and
I know him very well.
He knows me. Let me run over a few things very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The midterm elections, motivating people to come out and vote. Easier said than done. I think we should continue to pull and push in this direction. But it's noteworthy that on issues such as HBCUs being disenfranchised and still under attack, there's a conscious effort on the part of the Democratic Party and certain other conservative operatives not to dramatize this issue by having the students or encouraging the students to march on this issue. I'm talking about HBCU
right.
black students. Folks want to tamp down the activism that might flow therefrom in a positive way and be mindful of that. I can't see change in our society unless there are some confrontational aspects to the change.
Right.
We can't do it all in an armchair with armchair revolutionaries. The picket line is still important. marches and demonstrations
yes.
are still important,
yes.
along with social media and along with all of those who are laying back talking about what we ought not do because
right.
we might anger our antagonists, the institutional racists that run our country. That's just nonsense. It worked for us at the Million Man March. It can work for us now.
I absolutely
impeachable,
agree.
Impeachable offenses. Donald Trump has committed impeachable offenses. So has Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Before he even got on the bench, he was.
Before
yes.
he got on the bench. How come we're not pursuing, how come our leaders, politicians, are not pursuing impeachment, saying that the votes aren't fair? It doesn't matter whether the votes are there. If we can identify impeachable offenses, then this is a strategy for mobilizing people around a common objective. We need to go after them. Let me conclude on this note. Dirt bikes, big mistake. We didn't capitalize on STEM and STEM's relationship to dirt bikes, instruction, and all the things, motocross racing, and how we can utilize this as a vehicle for entrepreneurial growth.
Right.
Squeegee boys, the same thing. If a squeegee boy breaks the law, I don't have a problem locking him up. Lock him up.
Right.
But if they're expressing a desire to work, then we've got to
do something with that. I agree.
We've got to show them how to work. And last but far from least, the city solicitor, I think his name is Davis.
Yes.
He's instituting or has instituted a gag order on the civilian review board. How are we going to bring about change or police reform if, in fact, the law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights is utilized in a way that is threatening and straitjacketing those who want to tell the truth about what police do and do not do? There is no intention on the part of the mayor, the president of the city council, and others to make the police accountable to the citizenry. And as long as that exists, as long as these games are being played, we will never realize the intent of the consent decree.
I agree. And this is City Solicitor Andre Davis. All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Burrows. I really appreciate it. Folks, I want to just add a correction. We had someone calling. Judy called in to talk about how much she hated the Bible, the disdain, and so on and so forth. The Bible, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew, Biblical Aramaic, and then it was translated into Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. Now, historians of theology agree that Jesus spoke Jewish, Palestinian, Aramaic. Now, she's talked about, you know, the Bible and the language of the white man, all this. I just think we have to be clear in terms of the history. Do we have time for one more call, Justina? We have time for one more call, and it's Glord from West Baltimore. Glord, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K.
Yeah, I want to get you on the side of the break. Thank you.
Congratulations for everything.
Thank you, sir.
As well, I just got three issues that I wanted to deal with.
Okay.
Me being a community person, and believe it or not, when you have a strong community organization in your community, this is how a lot of some renters, but mostly homeowners, can come together, bring issues, and deal with the situation. But if you don't have a strong organization where people can get together, so now they're on their own,
right,
and a lot of problems occur. But if you have a strong community organization, you
okay.
cannot beat it. And talk about the lockbox thing.
Uh-huh.
That's long overdue. Come on, when
I
first
agree.
Heard, how long didn't Hogan just submit something about the lockbox?
Yes, I mean, yes. But that was, you know, we credited him with that yesterday. You saying it was his thing, but no, that's Delegate Maggie McIntosh and Senator Joan Carter Conway. Hey,
yes.
Give us the money and go be above and beyond what you've allocated. Just give us the money.
Without a doubt,
because
he's speaking of this lockbox, everything that. And the city is known to take stuff, you know, like a rainy day.
Yes,
they move stuff
they
around.
They do.
They take stuff. And a lockbox. And with all these structures that they're talking about that is in need repair badly.
Right.
If they don't have in place, it's called preventive maintenance.
Yes.
Preventive maintenance.
To be able to fix some of the things, right?
And preventive maintenance can go all year round. It's nonstop. It's just like with all these pipes and current on. If they had a maintenance system in place years ago, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at today because of, you know, and this is why we having the problems that we're having, unfortunate, even with the water and the schools and everything,
right.
Because they don't have preventive maintenance.
I like
and,
that.
And talking about the Squeezy Boys,
yes.
it's a hustle because I remember when I was growing up, we shined shoes, which we didn't like to, but we shined shoes for a little hustle. But the way the Squeezy Boys now, and I believe, and I think they just come together so they can get together and do their little dirt on the side, you know, and they not business oriented, you know how to deal with a business. But if nobody's out there monitoring them, you know, to help them to get a better job and deal with some issues, you're going to have
a problem. I got to stop you there. Thank you so much, Gloria. Folks, we got to leave it here for 1 minute. We will be back after the break. Linda, hold on. Valerie, hold on. Nathaniel, hold on. Folks on Facebook Live and Facebook fan page, I'll be getting your comments as well. It is the weekly wrap. Pull up a chair to our kitchen table. What's on your mind, folks? This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us for a quick update from MTA, and we'll talk on the other side.
And a good afternoon. We're seeing about a 20-minute delay in either direction on the light rail link. That is because of a fallen tree. That's between Falls Road and North Avenue, and that's affected in either direction. Construction is also underway for the new Camden Station. That's scheduled to run through March 31st. Light rail link riders should use a convention center stop instead. That's one to the north of the Camden Station. The Penn Camden Light Rail Link shuttle is operating between Penn Station and Mount Royal during all this. MARC riders will not be affected. Commuter information is available at mta.maryland.gov. No issues on the MTA commuter buses. Metro Subway Link is running on time. And get mobile, go faster, transfer free with the CharmPass Mobile Transit Fare app, your new way to pay. For more information, mta.maryland.gov/CharmPass. For the MTA Transit team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM.